Today's shiur and every shiur throughout the entire summer is sponsored by friends of Ben and Yael Englander, the Zechus Refuah Shleima for Zecharia Kalman HaKohen Ben Yael Margalit. So now that we've gone through the Gemara a little bit on Cholav Akum and we've gone through a little bit of the background, the most fundamental question in the entire sugya Halacha L'maisa, and also in the Lamdus, but in Halacha L'maisa, is how do we look at this Gezerah? How exactly did Chazal define this Gezerah? And what I mean by that is as follows. There are two types of Gezerah Chazal in general. There are Gezerah Chazal where Chazal said something as an across-the-board requirement that's not going to have any exceptions to it, and that the reasons for the Gezerah are good for explaining what motivated Chazal, but play no role in terms of defining the Gezerah, in terms of defining when the Gezerah will apply, when the Gezerah will not apply, that Chazal just said something, and therefore you do it. For instance, Chazal said, this might be a bad example. Let's just leave out examples, because you could argue about most of the examples, but Chazal say that you're not allowed to do something, Memela, you're never allowed to do it, and that's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim, in the second parak of Hilchos Mamrim, Halacha Beis, where he says, that where he paraphrases the Gemara, that any time Chazal made a Gezerah, you're not allowed to go against the Gezerah, even if the Tam no longer applies, unless you have a Beis Din that's Gadol B'Chachmo B'Minyan from the original Beis Din that made the Gezerah. How do you have a Beis Din that's Gadol B'Chachmo B'Minyan than the original Beis Din that made the Gezerah? So it's very difficult to have that. We never actually do have it. But it's also very difficult to define what the term even means, gadol b'chachma b'minyan. Chachma is typically not quantifiable. Minyan is quantifiable, but we just don't know minyan of what. Because minyan of dayanim, the number of judges, well, you're never going to have a basin that has more than 71 judges. That's the Sanhedrin HaGadol. It doesn't get bigger than that. So anytime Sanhedrin HaGadol makes a gzera, it's never going to be, there's never potential to repeal it. So that's what the Achronim and the Mishnayos have a difficult time trying to figure out what exactly minyan means. Maybe minyan means minyan of Talmidim, sphere of influence, something of that nature. But whatever it is, that's type one of Gezeros, where the Chazal made a Gezerah, and the Gezerah applies across the board, and we don't care whether the reason still applies, the reason doesn't apply, the Gezerah still applies because that's a Gezerah's Chazal and it's binding. That's one type of Gezerah. Another type of Gezerah is, Chazal didn't make a Gezerah for the sake of making a Gezerah, they were concerned about something. They thought that you might come to make some other error, or we might come to make, is it locked? I think it's locked. We weren't trying to lock it. Chazal thought that you might make some sort of mistake, you might make some sort of error, and you're going to violate some sort of Isser. So Chazal said, don't do this, because then we're afraid you're going to violate the Isser. Now, you can't say, even on those types of Gezeros, you can't say, well, I could trust myself. I could read La'or HaNer, and I'm not going to be Mata the Ner. I'm not going to tilt the candle in one direction and therefore come to a chashash of being Mechaba the light on Shabbos. Right? The Gemara on Shabbos says one of the Amoraim thought he'd be a Chacham and he'd be able to do it, that he'd be able to read by the Or HaNer, by a candlelight, and he wouldn't come to tilt the candle. And sure enough, he came and he went and he tilted the candle. Right? So you can't say that the reason doesn't apply to me. But when the reason is something that's just not shaykh at all anymore, it's not that you think you're stronger than that and you're a better psychologist than Chazal were, and therefore you know when it's really going to be a concern for you, when it's not going to be. It's just that you know, everyone knows that the reason just doesn't exist anymore. Then, for instance, let's say Chazal make a gzeira that you're not allowed to clap on Shabbos, gzeira shemi yisakim kli shir. I don't even know what a guitar looks like, let alone be misakin one. Right? I can't even, I happen to, yes, know what it looks like. Don't look at me funny. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how to be misakin a cliche here. I don't know how to be misakin anything. I don't know. So if the gezerah was only made as a chashash that I might come to do it, that I might come to violate the iser of fixing a musical instrument on Shabbos, well, if it's not even shaykh that anyone in my neighborhood even knows how to fix a musical instrument, I have to go to the village to find somebody who knows how to fix a musical instrument, well, then it's not shaykh. Then I could say, the tam is not shaykh for me. There's no way. I'm taking a car into the city to get it fixed. So those are the two. Now, don't pay so much attention to the examples as much as to the concepts. Two types of gzeres chazal.
Is that in the low plug can only be on the first type of
gzeres? Right. meaning the first type of gzeira is a low where we
that's
say low plug.
That's only time of gzeira plug.
Right. That's now typically gzeiras of Chazal were low plug type of gzeiras. Right. Most of the gzeiras Chazal were low plugs. There are some gzeiras that are not. We're just throwing out that possibility. So the question is, what is chalav akum? Is chalav akum a gzeira? The Chazal said, look, we're worried shemi yarik about davar tami that the guy is going to mix in the davar tami. He's going to mix in camel milk into your cow milk. And therefore, we're making gzeira across the board. Any milk from a guy is usher, period. And you can't, and that's it. That's it. And I don't care if you live in a country where there are no camels and no pigs, and all you have are cows and goats. There's nothing non-kosher in the whole country. I don't care whether the reason applies. If you got milk from a guy, gzeira is chazal, it's usher. Low plug. Or do you say, no, chazal made a gzeira. Don't take milk from a guy. Shema yarav bo davar tameh. Don't take milk from a guy because maybe he mixed something in it, and if you know that he didn't mix something in it or that he couldn't have mixed something in it, then you have nothing to worry about. It's a chashash. Chazal said you have to be careful. It was a takanas chazal to be careful, but not a gzeru with a low plug. So how do we understand the gzeru of chalav akum? That's the chakira to discuss. Now there are marmakomos to the chakira. The Maribrona in this tshuva that I put in the Mar Makomos over here, the particulars of the Shiloh didn't interest me as much as how strongly he comes down at the end of the tshuva, where he quotes several Rishonim, and he uses the key words. He says in the second paragraph of the tshuva, "Umeharav Rabbeinu Yona Omer Kivan Debalichal Chalav Neesar Biminyan Mishum Chalav Dechal Vagai." That once you have milk that you got from a guy, it's ne'esar b'minyan. Ne'esar b'minyan means it's type 1 gzeira. It's something that's usher, that Chazal made a gzeira on as a low plug, and it's a davar sh'b'minyan, and therefore you need minyan acher lahatiro, which means you need a bezin that's gadol b'chachmo b'minyan, you need a later bezin that's greater both in chachmo and minyan in order to undo the gzeira. So shuv lo chashav shum safik el kavada yisra. What he's already alluding to is one nafkamina between these two types of gzeros. What's the nafkamina? Either way, chalav akum is aser. So the obvious first nafkamina, of course, is in America, where there are government regulations that tell you that if you sell milk and you don't label it as camel milk, then it's illegal to put anything but cow milk in there. You have to label it as having something other than cow milk if there is anything other than cow milk in there. So I know for sure that there's no way he's mixing anything in. Thank you very much. I know that there's no way in the world that the guy is mixing anything in. Right? So if you hold that, I don't care if I know for sure, lo plug, it's a davar shebiminyan, then it's still going to be aser. It's going to be aser to have chalav akum in America also. But if you're going to say, no, it's all mishum chashash, so then there's at least room to argue. Now, you could argue there's still a chashash because it's not unheard of for corporations to violate the law. So, you know, it happens every once in a while, every now and then. They don't follow whatever standards they're supposed to follow, and laws are violated. It's possible, it's shaykh, right? So you could argue that there still is a chashash, but assuming that there would be a situation where there's no chashash, that would be enough to me know how you understand this gzeira. If you understand that it's a davar shebiminyan, it's still going to be aser. If you understand that it's just chazal rechoshesh that you're going to end up drinking davar tameh, so then it's not going to be aser. Just one more thing, and that is that the Maribrona alludes to, or really says explicitly, another nafkamina, and that is, when I drink chalav akum, when one drinks chalav akum, did they ingest a safik iser or a vaday iser? Meaning, when a person has chalav akum, so do you say, when you're trying to analyze a given situation, and you have several factors and sveikos, because no shaila that you ever ask is like straight, pashut, you know, and exactly as it says in the Shulchan Aruch, there's always factors. So you always try to figure out, how many sveikos do I have? How many snifim lahakel do I have? So can you say as a snif lahakel, let's say, yeah, you're putting together all your factors and you say, okay, maybe you could be makel for this, man, not strong enough, maybe for this. Oh, and also, there's like a 95% chance that the guy never stuck anything in there. So chances are, when I drank the chalav akum, I was only drinking cow milk anyway. So maybe I can use that as a snif lahakel. So that would depend. Mari Brona says, no, you cannot use that. You can never use that as an argument. You can never say, oh, the chalav akum, chances are, what are the chances there's anything really draped in there? No, because once Chazal said Cholav Akum is Aser, Cholav Akum is itself a Cheftza Shel Iser. Cheftza maybe is the wrong word, but Cholav Akum itself is Aser. Based on the Nesivus that every Drabbanan is really only Nisar Gavra, but whatever. Cholav Akum is Aser, it becomes Aser. So you can't say, oh, it's a 10% chance of an Iser. So I wasn't allowed to drink it, but come on, is it really Aser? No, it is really Aser. That's the Gzeres Chazal. Yeah? That's why the Chazon says that it wasn't Aser Midal Raisa. But the Rabbanim came along and said that Cholav Akum is Aser. Across the board.
So you think you can apply the Sfarno one way, shouldn't be able to apply the Sfarno?
No, all that Svara tells you is that the Torah would not have required me to be concerned about it. The Rabbanan aren't even saying, because 95% chance there's nothing wrong with it, the Rabbanan aren't saying that I have to be concerned about it, the Rabbanan are saying, it's Aser! Not just maybe a Dover Tami was mixed in. The Rabbanan are saying, because we think 5% chance is a big enough chance that we're not willing to risk it, we're now going to declare with the power vested in us as Rabbanan that all milk is Aser. All milk from an Akum is Aser.
Does this connect to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said they're not Isurim or not?
Does it connect to, well, Isurim, now that really relates more to whether it's Daraisa or not, probably, and whether it's Avodah Zara related. So those are the factors with Isurim or not.
What about if all the variables are different back in the times of 2,000 years ago, and they were making that Takana, maybe it was a 20% chance that it would happen, but nowadays it's,
exactly. That's the nafkamina. If you say the Chazal were just concerned that you're going to ingest Cholav Akum, but they didn't make this Dover Shebeminyan kind of gzeira, so you're right. Then you could play with it and say, well, the reason doesn't apply anymore. But if they made a Dover Shebeminyan, that this is a takana that we're keeping for, so then even, that's what the Ram says, even if the reason doesn't apply anymore, you can't uproot it unless you have a basin that's greater than the original basin.
Wouldn't you say Wolfplug anyways?
Not Pashut, no. Not necessarily. That's the thing. There are two. That's what I'm trying to, right, to say, that there are two types of gzeros. Some gzeros have a low plug, some don't. We'll get to it in a second in more detail. Another nafkamina might be if you have a Yisrael Mumar who milks the cow. So Yisrael Mumar, in general, for certain things, Yisrael Mumar, a Jew who violates all the halachas, the Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia, everything else. So for some halachos he's like a guy, for other halachos he's not like a guy. This is a very practical shaila, by the way, in Israel. In America there aren't so many Jews that have farms that, you know, that milk cows, but in America Jews are bankers, you know what I'm saying? Like in Israel there are kibbutzim, and there are a lot of non from kibbutzim where there are non from Jews milking all the cows. So that's a shaila. Is that Cholav Akum or is it not Cholav Akum? So Rav Moshe was asked this, and this is in Yardei Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Vav. It's Marmakom number 16 in the Marmakomos. And he says, I mean, he really gets it down to this point. He says, well, wait a second. If it's a Davar Shebeminyan, a Chazal Aser Cholav Akum, what did Chazal Aser? Cholav Akum, not Cholav of Yisrael Mumar. But if it's Mishum Chashash, if the whole issue is Chazal are concerned that there might be Cholav Tameh in there, and therefore they're telling us, don't drink anything where there's even a 5% chance of Cholav Tameh in there, that Cholav Tameh being mixed in. Well, the Jew doesn't care about anything, and he mixes in, you know, in his own mouth, he'll put, you know, chazer, you know, and he'll eat whatever, and he'll be Mechal Shabbos Paresia. What does he care what he puts in your mouth? Well, it's very likely he'll put Cholav Tameh. He's every bit as likely as a guy putting Cholav Tameh is a Jew putting Cholav Tameh. So if you were to assume the metzias of the percentage chance of how, you know, how high a percentage chance there is that there's Cholav Tameh mixed in is the same as it was in the times of Chazal, so what if you have a Jew who's a Mumar that gives you milk? So the percentage chance, the concern is the same. But did they make a gzeira on it? They never made a gzeira on a Jew. And that would be another nafkamina. Now, it could be it's different nowadays anyway, because you have neither reason, meaning the gzera is not on a Jew, plus there's almost no chance nowadays that he would mix a davar tameh in. That's assuming, I'm sure there are some kibbutzim that are milking more than just cows. People mess around with all sorts of different things. As I pointed out to you the other day, that according to the Tenuva website, which is a great website for Cholav Akum, the Rav of Tenuva has several articles in Hebrew on these issues, and he knows it really well. He dedicated his life to what we're dedicating a week or two to. And he's and he points out that there are many Israeli there are places in Israel where they milk camels and they make ice cream out of it, out of camel milk. So it does happen. It happens in where chalav that you don't know the source of the milk could actually become, could actually be from a behemoth tamea. So anyway, so that's what Rav Moshe seems to be saying, right? So he goes, and then at the end he says, but at the end of the day, there's no concern of anyone nowadays in America mixing in something else. Yeah.
So a little plug there would say that the Yisrael Mumim are mutter. You can't.
Right. Then it would be
the opposite way of the Mari Brono.
Right. Well, Mari Brono wasn't talking about it.
His nafkamina showed that.
Right. Right. So you have nafkaminas in both directions. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, in terms of defining these gezeros, my one of my favorite pieces in Eretz HaTzvi, in Rav Shachter Sefer, is, to my mind, just the clarity of the piece in terms of just describing how to look at gezeros of Chazal. I think is phenomenal. So in Eretz HaTzvi, in Simin Yud Tes, so it's all the way at the back of the packet. I just discovered after flipping 50 pages. In Simin Yud Tes, in Eretz HaTzvi, Rav Shachter discusses the following. There is a discussion, he quotes a Rush, Mesachas Ksuvos, Perek Dalet, Simin Chav Dalet, where the Rush quotes from the Gaonim, that Mehayo Mikamashanu Kvar Batla Takanas Benin Dichri. But there was a Takana in the Ksuba that we made, that Chazal made, that when a woman gets married and she's bringing a lot of money from her father's family into the marriage, so there was a concern that if a man is going to marry, let's say, four or five women, and he's going to have children from Rachel and from Leah and from Sarah and from Rivka, he's going to have children from each of the women, but who knows, maybe he's only going to have one child from Sarah, who's the rich one, she's bringing in $10 million into the marriage. And he also marries Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and they are poor, and they don't bring much money into the marriage. He's going to have 10 children each from them. And then he's going to die. He's going to have all this money. And the money is going to go, the money that came from Sarah's father is going to end up being split amongst his children. And Sarah's father is going to be like, hey, how come my grandson only got the same portion as everybody else? So they came up with this concept called Ksubas Benin Dichrin to make sure, to sort of guarantee Sarah's father, don't worry, we're going to keep the money in your family. The Benin Dichrin, do you have the Benin Dichrin that you're going to have from me, are going to be Yoresh this amount of money. Right? That money is going to be earmarked, dafka, for that child of mine, not for all my other children that have no relationship to Sarah's father. That's the takanas, the basic backbone, the skeleton of the takana of Ksubas Benin Dichrin. So the Rush quotes from the Gaonim that nowadays there's no concern of Ksubas Benin Dichrin. What was the whole problem? Why did Chazal institute this idea? What were they worried about? What? Sarah's father's going to be mad. So it's not the first time a father-in-law won't like his son-in-law. So what? Right, well, what were they concerned about? What they were concerned about is that people aren't going to want to give a nice dowry to their daughters. They were concerned that people are going to try to gyp their daughters out of a reasonable dowry because they're going to say to themselves, look, whatever I give to my son is going to end up in my grandchildren's hands, is staying in my family. What I give to my daughter, my low-life son-in-law is going to marry five other women, it's going to end up in their kids' hands. I don't want it. I want it in my family. So he's going to end up not giving a proper dowry to his daughter, and his daughter's not going to be able to get married. So it's they made a takana in order to encourage people to give libito kibno. So he says, but nowadays everyone gives. Everyone gives a big dowry. It's not a concern anymore. No one's going to not give because of that nowadays. So therefore, Ksubas Benin Dichrin doesn't apply. And then he quotes, but other Rishonim say, I don't care that the reason doesn't apply. Ksubas Benin Dichrin should still apply because it was Takanas Chazal, what you need to include in Ksuba. So it's got to apply. You can't say, oh, the reason doesn't apply and just get rid of the Takana. Takanas Chazal, it's got to apply. So Shechter's Mahalech, in explaining the Machlokas, is the following, and it's based on what I was telling you before about the two types of Gzeres. It says the following. There are different types of Gzeres of Chazal, and he outlines the two types we spoke about before. Some types of gzeros of Chazal, where Chazal said, we're doing this for a reason, and if the reason doesn't apply, don't worry, then it's okay, then the gzero goes away. And other types of gezeiros chazal where they say, yes, we're doing it for a reason, but we're making this gezeirah such, so strong that we don't care even if the reason goes away, we still want the gezeirah to be there. Now, the question that Rosh Hashanah does not address is why they would do that. Why would chazal make a gezeirah being motivated by a particular reason and make it in such a way that the gezeirah is still going to apply even when the reason doesn't apply? If they made it for the reason, why? Why would they want to do that? Any ideas?
Isn't there a gra that says, even though there's only one reason, there'd be like 99 other
reasons? Very good. So, very similar. So, Rav Shachter is going to use the mashal of looking at reasons for dinim in the Torah. Sometimes we know reasons for dinim in the Torah, or we suggest reasons for dinim in the Torah, but we never really fully understand all the reasons. So, he doesn't flesh this part out. But let's say, ulai, it's possible to say, that on many gezeiros of Chazal, Chazal had a primary reason and dozens of secondary reasons. And they're going to say, look, our primary, we can't really express every single reason that we have for making every gezeira, because a lot of the reasons will sound ridiculous probably because they're only secondary reasons to begin with. But we're so serious about this that even if the primary reason's not there, we still want it in play. That's one mahalich. Another mahalich you can suggest, yeah?
It undermines the authority of Chazal. Once you're saying that, once the reason applies, the
right. Sometimes Chazal had to show an iron fist. They couldn't show weakness. Because one of the other rules of Gzeris, also, Shachta doesn't discuss, is if it's a Gzeris She'en Rov HaTzibur Yichol Lamubo, then it's not a good Gzeris, right? And not only that, if it's a Gzeris, how do you determine whether Rov HaTzibur Yichol Lamubo? So Chazal could determine that in advance, or they could try it. And they'll make a Gzeris and see if it works. Like a couple of years ago, the Moetzes made gezeiros about weddings. You're not allowed to have more than a 4-piece band, and you're not allowed to have more than 250 guests, and this and that. And it lasted till the first big donor to a major yeshiva made a wedding. Right? So it was a gezeiros clearly that Ein Rov HaTzibur Yichol Lamubo. They couldn't do it. They tried it. They put it in writing. It was on, you know, Yeshiva World News, how every halacha is paskin nowadays, and they had it all out there, right? But it didn't work out. So I forgot where I was going with it. Yeah, so it could be, so Chazal could be that when they make a gzeira, what were they doing? They didn't want to show any weakness whatsoever, because if they wanted it to be accepted, they had to make it ironclad. Now, if they were to express right at the beginning, we're only doing this for this reason, and if that reason doesn't apply, then the gezeira can go away. Some people are going to say, that reason? And everybody and his sister is going to start questioning the reason. Well, that reason is not really such a good reason. It doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to this one. The Gemara of Avodah says this. I forgot where, but somewhere in this Masechta says, yeah, you saw it already. What? I mean, hey, yeah, okay. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says that that sometimes Chazal didn't reveal the reasons for the gezeiros because they were afraid if you reveal the reasons, people are going to question it. So they didn't want to reveal the reasons for the gezeiros because that, and they waited a year. They waited till it was widely accepted. Then they let the reason, you know, slip to the press.
The Gemara in Bavasa said there are three takanas that there's no reason for. Upon every other.
Which Gemara, remind me?
In the Bavasa and.
I don't remember. I'm just.
Getting the
first
part of also.
Yeah. Maimon Shlosh, right.
Maimon Shlosh, yes.
Yeah.
Does it imply that could be everything else, but there is reason?
You have to look at the Rishonim. Well, you have to look at the Rishonim and say. The Tosafot there said, because it doesn't make. Then it makes no sense whatsoever. Meaning, you can't say there's no reason. What you have to say is some word and what it means that there's no reason, which is what the Rishonim do. Yeah.
Questions. According to the first Mahalan.
Yeah.
Then regardless of whether it's just for, like, regardless, then it should never be bottled. Meaning, even if there's just one reason, so really there are always 100 reasons, other than before it or not,
right.
It should never be bottled.
Right.
So then how could...
According to the second Malach also. Way Chazal made this Kazeres, meaning never bottle even if you have...
Even if it's just a
Chazal. Gadol v'chachma minyan.
Right.
It could be that the assumption, if you're going to say, like, the first Malach, which is your Malach, right, that Gadol v'chachma minyan... maybe some Gadol B'chachma Minyan will be wise enough to figure out what the potential reasons are, and you know that's why you need Gadol B'chachma, I guess.
Also, for the second halach, that it would just apply regardless if it doesn't apply or not, then wouldn't it be about Tosef here?
Oh, so one second. So let's get to Rav Shachter here. So Rav Shachter points out as follows, that there was no such thing as a Gezeres Chazal that didn't have a reason. Every Gzeres Chazal had a reason. Even the ones that they said didn't have a reason. Have a reason. They just didn't have as strong a reason, as clear a reason, as public a reason, something like that. You look at all the Rishonim over there. I don't remember where it is in Bava Basra, right? But every Gzeres Chazal has a reason to it. And not only that, if they don't have a reason, or not enough of a reason to warrant making Gzera, and they go and they make a Gzera that they're not supposed to make, it's a violation of Nisa D'Oraisa of Baal Tosef. You're not allowed to just, you're not allowed to add on to the Torah. Elamai, the Migdar Milsa, the Chazal see the Bali HaMasorah see that there's a reason to make a Gzera because they're concerned something's going to happen. So then they're given the right to make such a Gzera. Right? Then they're not only the right, the requirement. And he says, you know, when we say that Milsa lo shchicha lo gazur be'rabanan, he says, Milsa lo shchicha lo gazur be'rabanan doesn't mean that when you have a Milsa lo shchiach, the Rabbanan didn't bother to make a Gzera on a Milsa lo shchiach on something that's not common. Milsa lo shchiach lo gazur be'rabanan means when you have something that's not common, the Rabbanan are not authorized to make a Gzera. It's an Isser Baal Tosef for them to make a Gzera on a Milsa lo shchicha. Very, very different. It's not that they just didn't bother, because why should we bother? It's not so common. No, they're not authorized. They need it to be something common in order to be allowed to make a gzeira. And Rav Shechter tries to use, to explain this concept of the two types of gzeiros, he tries to use the mashal of dinim d'oraisa. We have a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon, Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph, whether we're dashin in time of dekra or lo dashin in time of dekra. What does that mean, whether we're dashin in time of dekra or not? So Pash Pshat it means, do we pay attention to the reasons of laws in the Torah? Or do we not pay attention to reasons of the laws in the Torah? The problem with saying it that way is that Kulei Amal Opligi, we pay attention to reasons. And we try to find reasons. The entire Sefer HaChinuch, the entire Mor Nevuchim, goes about trying to give you a reason for every single mitzvah in the Torah. So we definitely are interested in reasons in the Torah. Darshin Taim Dekra, Lo Darshin Taim Dekra is very meduyuk in the Lashon. It doesn't say lomdim time of dekra, o ein lomdim time of dekra. It's pasha that you learn time of dekra. Darshinan time of dekra, lo darshinan time of dekra is, do we use it, are we darshinan? What does darshinan mean? There are yud gimel midos shatar nidreshes bahen. What's special about those yud gimel midos? If I come up with a kal v'chomer that no one ever thought of before, which is one of the yud gimel midos shatar nidreshes bahen, what have I done? I've created a new din d'oraisa. I can say, if it's kal v'chomer and it's glat and you don't have a pircha on it, I can say, that's a din. I'm allowed to make a din d'oraisa through, I can say, that's what the Torah wants. Yeah.
It depends if you say that, how did they say the midos and reshetem are from the Torah or they were learned out by Hillel and Ishmael?
Now, they're definitely, midos shatar and reshetem, yirgum midos shatar and reshetem, it's, you're alluding to the Gemara in Gittin discusses whether Rova Torah is Bichsav or Rova Torah is Baal Peh, and the way the Prima Gadim explains that is whether the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar Nidresh Ben, when you learn things through those Yud Gimel Midos, are those considered Bichsav or Baal Peh. But that's an issue of whether it's considered Torah Shabichsav or Torah Shabal Peh. So let's assume it's Torah Shabal Peh. It's still Daraisa, I think. Meaning they derived these laws, but the Midos Shatar Nidresh Ben have to go back to Sinai. Right? I think it's still Daraisa. I don't know of any Makar that says that it's, that halachas derived from Yud Gimel Midos Shatar Nidresh Ben are not Daraisa. They're all Daraisas. They may only be Torah Shabal Peh, which is, but it's still Daraisa, right? So the God gave us this book, and he gave us 13 ways to learn the book. Now, not everyone agreed that there are exactly 13. Some people said there are way more than 13. The question of Darshin Taim Dekra, Lo Darshin Taim Dekra, is Taim Dekra a 14th Midos Shatar Nidresh Ben? Can you take the reason of a mitzvah and say, okay, now we can manipulate the halacha based on the reason for the mitzvah? That if I know the reason that I have to do a given mitzvah, that I have to eat only kosher food, is because kosher food is healthier, l'mashal, let's say there was such a reason, well then if I found very healthy non-kosher food, I'd be allowed to eat that. And that's allowed in the Torah, because darshina on time of dekra, you're allowed to use it as a, make a drasha from the time of dekra. So how do we pass from darshin in time of dekra, lo darshin in time of dekra? Pass from lo darshin in time of dekra, but with exceptions. We pass from lo darshin in time of dekra except when the Torah itself gives the reason. If the Torah itself gives the reason for the mitzvah, then we are dorish time of dekra. And that's Rav Shechter suggests, we find that idea of the Torah itself giving the reason is not only nogeya to Darshin in time of the Krah. When the Torah itself gives a reason, it changes the whole mitzvah. It changes the whole parameters of the mitzvah. First of all, in terms of Darshin in time of the Krah, everyone's mother, you are Darshin in time of the Krah when the Torah itself gives a reason. Another very important point about the Torah giving a reason is the well-known Bach at the beginning of Hilchos Sukkah. The Torah, in the beginning of Hilchos Sukkah, discusses what the Gemara, there's a little foreshadowing, we're doing Sukkah next year here in Yeshiva, so the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph discusses, I think Daf Yud Aleph around there, discusses what the reason is that we have Sukkah for. Is it as a Zecher to the Anane HaKavod, or is it a Zecher to Sukkos Mamish? Right? What? I don't think so. Is Zecher to Anane HaKavod, or is Zecher to Sukkos Mamish? Machlokas, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Kiva, I think. Right, what we're trying to remember when we have sukkah, the Torah paskins in that machlokas. So, the Bach, right on the spot at the beginning of the sukkah, says paskins. Well, what's the paskin? Either way, you have, if it's because of Nani Yakovod, you build a sukkah. If it's because of sukkah's mamish, you build a sukkah. L'maynaf kamina. How's that a halacha? It's an agadita. The Torah doesn't paskin on agaditas. So what's he paskining? So the Bach wants to be mechadish the following, that the mitzvah of sukkah is unique, because the mitzvah of sukkah doesn't just tell us to build a sukkah. It says b'sukkah teishu shivasyam, and then the pasuk goes on to say, why do you have? Or I'm not sure if it's in the pasuk b'sukkah teishu. Pasuk goes on to say l'man yedu doroseichem ki b'sukkah sashafti es b'nei Yisrael. Why do you have to build a sukkah? Why do you have to sit in sukkah? So that later generations can know about the miracle or the idea of Besukos HaShafti when you were in Mitzrayim. So says the Bach, when the Torah gives the reason for the mitzvah right next to the mitzvah, not only, forget about the Shin Time of the Krah, not only does it affect the Shin Time of the Krah, it affects the requirement of Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah. In general, when we say mitzvah strichos kavana, which we do pass in mitzvah daraisa, we pass in strichos kavana. What does it mean, mitzvah strichos kavana? When I pick up my lulav and esrog, I have to think what? What does it mean? What do I have to think? I have to think, oh, in the sfiros and the olamos alyonim, this is causing that malach to be chovel, that malach, and that, right? I have to have kavanos with the arizal and all. Certainly doesn't mean that. Do I have to say, oh, this is the lulav is connected to the shidra, and the esrog is connected to the lave, and there's the einayim and the lips, and I have to think that? The symbolism of the mitzvah? Pashut, no. What does it mean, mitzvah strichos kavana? That when you do the mitzvah, you have to have in mind that I'm doing this for a mitzvah. I'm doing it because God wants me to do it. You need nothing further than that. You don't have to think of any symbolism, you don't have to think of any meaning, you don't have to think of any reasons. I'm doing it because God wants me to do a mitzvah. As opposed to, hey, can you hand me my lulav and esrog? Sure, here you go. So when I go and I pick it up and I pass it to the guy, I didn't do a mitzvah because I wasn't doing it for the sake of fulfilling God's command. I was doing it to pass him his lulav and esrog. That's true by 99.9% of the mitzvahs in the Torah. But when it comes to mitzvahs where the reason is given together with the mitzvah, says the Bach, the requirement of having kavana l'shem mitzvah changes. Becomes much more intense. You no longer only have to have kavana that you're doing a mitzvah, you have to have kavana for the reason of the mitzvah. So the Torah tells us by sukkahs, l'man yedu doroseichem ki b'sukkahs hashavti. You have to have kavana for the reason, not b'sukkahs hashavti. So what does that mean? What do I have to have kavana for? What did God do for us? Machlokas, Rabbi Kivin Rabbi Lazar. Is it sukkahs mamish or anani akavod? Torah says, I need a paskinness. Because you need to know what to think. I always say the first night of sukkah is my sukkah every year. You should have kavana, both that it's l'shem sukkah's mamish and l'shem anani akavod, as a zecher to both. Bach holds, you're not yotzei the mitzvah without it. Kedai to be machmir for the Bach. Right? But that's another nafkamina about the Torah giving the reason for the mitzvah. That's all on Doraisa. So you see that midoraisa, there's a clear difference between mitzvahs Doraisa that are just told to us and mitzvahs Doraisa that are given together with a reason. So Rav Shechter says, called the Tikkun Rabbanu Ken Doraisa Tikkun. Whenever the Rabbanan, Rav Shechter didn't make up that phrase, right? Chazal tell us, called the Tikkun Rabbanu Ken Doraisa Tikkun. Whenever the Rabbanan make up a Din Rabbanan, they pattern it after a Din Doraisa. And the way that they make the Dinim Rabbanan work are patterned after the way Dinim Doraisa work. So just like on a daraisa level, there's a difference between a mitzvah that's given without a reason and a mitzvah that's given with a reason. When Chazal decided to make takanos and gzeros, they too distinguished how that between two ways, two modes of making a takanos or gzera. One where they give a reason, and one where they don't give a reason. When Chazal decided not to give a reason in the nusach hatakana, it could be that they told their friends why they're doing it. And they even announced in their speeches on Shabbos and Shul why they were doing it. But in the nusach hagzera, in the text of the proclamation, that you hereby are no longer allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos, if the nusach hagzera includes the reason, then you know Chazal were very concerned about the reason and only about the reason, and if that reason goes away, you're then allowed to violate that gzera. The gzera goes away too. But if the nusach hagzera does not include the reason, then Chazal said, look, we have reasons, and you might even know our reasons, but if we don't include it in the nusach, that means we want this gzera to be across the board. We want this gzera to apply, whether the reasons apply or the reasons don't apply. The idea of davar shebeminyan, that you need a bezin gadol b'chachma b'minyan to uproot a gzeres chazal, is only when they didn't include the reason. If they included the reason, it's easy to uproot it. Just wait till the reason goes away, and then the gzera goes away on its own. Also, one more prat that he adds, and then I'll give some examples. One more prat that he adds as follows. There are times where chazal were gozer to be oker davar min haTorah, to go against the Torah law. So when Chazal goes there to be oker davar min haTorah, they couldn't have had the chutzpah to be oker davar min haTorah. Say, yeah, you know that Torah law that you're supposed to put on tefillin? Forget it. Gzera, we have a... Why? We're not telling. That would have been a chutzpah. To tell you to go against the Torah without giving a reason? Impossible. So every single gzera that involves akiras davar min haTorah must be type 2. Right, it must be the kind of gzera that comes along with the reason, and when the reason doesn't apply, the gzera doesn't apply. Because they couldn't be oker davar min haTorah otherwise. What's an example of Chazal being oker davar min haTorah? It's what I said before. Don't blow shofar on Shabbos. They're being oker davar min haTorah. It has to be because of the reason.
Why not apply by
Kumbaseh? Why not apply? Well, no, that's quite... Even with reasons, it could be that they were limited and they couldn't be oker davar min haTorah by Kumbaseh, according to one day in the Gemara, the day that we pass on like in Yipamos. Based on this, Rav Shachter points out Rav Soloveitchik, when he printed Eretz HaTzvi, it was Rav Soloveitchik Shlita, printed a long time ago. Rav Soloveitchik answered a kash of the Tzlach on the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin. The Gemara Masech Sanhedrin says that if Beithin is Ma'aber the Shana, there has a machlokas Tanayim. Whether Beis Din is allowed to be Ma'abrim the Shana because of concerns of Tumah. And if you say Ein Ma'abrim, because that they're not allowed to be Ma'aber, it's because Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. Anyway, even if Rova of the Tzibur is Tameh, nothing to worry about. Everyone's going to be allowed to bring a Karban Pesach anyway. And it's not that, with a Kvetch that they have to bring a Karban Pesach. It's Hutra, it's totally Mutter anyway. So you don't even have to think twice about it. And then they say, they also argue, if you were ma'abr the shana, b'di'eved, is it mu'uberes or not? If Chazal were ma'abr the shana, is it mu'uberes or not? The Rabbi Yehuda says that even b'di'eved, if they were ma'abr for the sake of tuma, it's not mu'uberes. And the Sakh says, wait a second. We have a rule about dafka this din, of Chazal's role in being ma'abr the shana, and being mekadesh chadashim, Atem afilu mutin, that you are the Beis Din, you're in charge of this, and even if you do it in error, you make a blatant mistake, it's still okay. It still counts. Frek the Tzlach. How could the Gemara have a discussion that if Chazal messed up in their reason for being Ma'aber the Shana, that the Gemara is going to have a Deya that it doesn't work? It's against the Drasha, a Beferish Drasha's Chazal, that Atem afilu mutin, that even if you make a mistake, it still counts. And that's how some of the Achronim explain. I just said in Daf Yomi the other day, that when Korach comes to argue against Moshe Rabbeinu, what does he do? The Gemara says he brings people who are experts in Ibur Hashana and Kiddush HaChodesh. Of all things to bring experts in, why would he bring experts in Ibur Hashana and Kiddush HaChodesh? So I forgot which of the Acharonim, one of the Acharonim explains, because according to Rashi and Chumash, what happened? They built the Mishkan, Klal Yisrael built the Mishkan. They're waiting for the Shekhinah to come down to be there by the Mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu is doing the Avodah throughout Shavuos Yemei Miluim and no Shekhinah. And everyone says, we donated all that money and we're putting all our hopes in this and nothing. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, it's because you have the wrong guy. As soon as Aaron takes over, then it's going to be okay. Then you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come. So Aaron takes over and sure enough, the Shekhinah comes. So, frekt many achronim. Korach's whole taina was nepotism. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he decides he's going to make Aaron the Kohen Gadol. His brother, of course. And yeah, guess what? His nephews are Kohanim. So if you ever want to give truma, you got to give it to Moshe Rabbeinu's family. Not a coincidence, of course. Nepotism. So all the achronim ask, what do you mean? God sort of showed it. You know, when God came down and rested his Shekhinah on the Mishkan, only when Aaron took over, doesn't that show that Aaron might have been qualified? How could he have the chutzpah to make such an argument? So that's what this, I forgot again, which of the Acharonim says, that's why Korach Dafka brings the people who are experts in Kiddush HaChodesh Nibur Hashana. And he says, no, there is a concept that sometimes, even when we make a mistake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to make mistakes. Like a parent sometimes will let you make your own mistakes and learn from them. If the mistakes aren't too big, you know? So it could be that just like by Kiddush HaChodesh, Kodesh Baruch, we make a mistake, Kodesh Baruch says, okay, you determine that Pesach is going to be next Tuesday and not next Wednesday because you decided that you're going to be Mekadosh the Chodesh when you did. Even though you're wrong, you become right. Right? So ask the Tzlach. How could you even have a discussion whether if the Bezin's Ma'abar the Shana for the wrong reason, whether it works or not? Of course it works. Atem HaFilim Utoin. So Salvechik explained, that's only, that whole idea of even if Bezin is a mistake, it's still binding, that's only if Bezin makes the din b'stama. They're ma'abed shana b'stama. They don't explain the reasoning for it. But once they explain the reasoning for it, then it becomes subject to that reasoning. Just like we said about dinim d'araisa, just like we said about dinim d'rabanan. That when you say something stam, it just works across the board. When you say something with a reason, it becomes subject to the viability of the reason. And if the reason was wrong, then it's not going to be good. So if Bezin was ma'abar d'shana and they said, we're doing this mipnei atumah, then it turns out you aren't allowed to do it mipnei atumah, it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't work. Right? That's the example that he gives. Now, some, yeah.
Does what also apply to both to all these cases?
If you violate a gzera when you're not allowed to violate? Yeah, I think so.
As in, this case where it's only about the reason, but if the reason leaves, there might not be this issur. The fact is, the Tekhanah was still in place, so is the issur was also still in existence even after the gzera might not necessarily be?
No. Once the gzera is gone, the issur losasar is going to be gone, because it's losasar from what the rabbis told you. And they built into their gzera the ability to get rid of that gzera, so they no longer require you to do it. Right, so that the losas will be done. So Rosh Hashanah gives several examples where he applies this basic rule, and this is why it's, you know, there's a Tshuvas HaRash that's quoted in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tzitzis that the Tanaim made a gzera that you're not supposed to put tzitzis on a beged shel pishtan. So he says that's only shayach in their days when they had a chilazon, and they were choshesh that if you're going to try to put tcheles in your beged shel pishtan, and your tzitzis strings were tsemer, they were wool, and you had false chilazon, you had kleilon, which is the forgery, which by the way exists today also. And there are people that sell what many believe to be the real tcheles, and there are people which is chemically identical to plant indigo. So there are people that say, hey, it's chemically identical, no one's ever going to catch us. They use plant indigo. It's a lot cheaper. So Chazal said, says this Tshuvas HaRash, when there was actually such a concern that you can end up putting wool into your linen garment and you're not even going to have real tcheles there. So that's why they said you shouldn't put tzitzis in beged shel pishtan. But nowadays, we no longer have tcheles. Rosh Hashanah wrote this a while ago. Nowadays, we no longer have tcheles. So the whole time doesn't apply. So the Etzem HaGzera falls away as well. So he says, why should the Etzem Gzeira fall away? I thought you can't be Oker Gzeiras Chazal. So what do you say? No, the Tam of the Gzeira was put into the wording of the Gzeira. And Mela, if the Tam falls away, the Gzeira falls away. No problem. It's Kiyas Shofar on Shabbos, the other example he gave. Right? Nowadays, if you hold that in order to make a Rishus HaRabim Dal Reis, in order to have a real genuine Rishus HaRabim, you need Shishim Rebo, you need 600,000 people that go there on a daily basis. So there are several Shitos, Mishbur quotes, that hold that there's no such thing as a Rishus HaRabim Dal Reis nowadays. So Mishbur says, so it's a real Kasha. Why don't we blow Shofar on Shabbos nowadays? According to those shitos, that there's no Rishus HaRabim Dal Reisa, what was the whole reason you don't blow shofar on Shabbos? Chazal were afraid, Shema Yavi Renu Dal Ramos, Rishus HaRabim. You might carry the shofar on Shabbos for Ramos out in Rishus HaRabim. If you don't even have a Rishus HaRabim, what were they afraid of? Nothing to be afraid of. So the Gzeris shouldn't apply. So all the Achronim ask the Mishbura, what are you talking about? It's a Gzeris Chazal. You can't just throw away Gzeris Chazal because the reason doesn't apply. Says Rav Shechter, normally you can't. But look, every time in Shas, it says that din of not taking lulav on Shabbos, not blowing shofar on Shabbos, not reading Megillah on Shabbos, it always follows it up with what words? Shema Yavirenu Dal Ramos Prishus Rabim. The Nusach HaGzeira included the reason. Mimela, reason goes away, Gzeira goes away. That's what the Mishnah was talking about. And the final example, before we try to connect it back to us, there is an iser from Chazal to take medication on Shabbos. Gzeira mishum shchika sammanim. Now, in general, if one is not comfortable on Shabbos, there's a mitzvah da'oraisa to get comfortable. And if you have a choice to be sitting in a room where there's no air conditioning on a 95 degree day, or to go into a room where it's nice and cool, so common sense tells you to go into the room that's nice and cool, but on Shabbos there's a mitzvah da'oraisa to go into the room that's nice and cool. It's a mitzvah of onek Shabbos. You have to enjoy Shabbos. There's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. We discussed this once. No mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. Someone asked me right after Shavuos. Someone asked me a shaila. Shavuos was Wednesday, Thursday, right? So Friday morning, I get an email from somebody that he has tons of milchig leftovers from Shavuos, and he says, "Here's what I got. I have bal tashchis on the one hand, because by Sunday the milchig leftovers are going to be garbage, so I'm going to have to throw them all out." On the other hand, I have the chiyuv to eat fleishigs on Shabbos. So what should I do? Should I eat the milchig leftovers on Shabbos and therefore avoid the baltashchis? Or should I have fleishigs? So I said, whatever the answer to your question is, both assumptions you're working with are wrong. It's not baltashchis when you're throwing away bad food, nor is it baltashchis if you don't eat good food because of a halachic reason. Right? Baltashchis is when you're just totally being wasteful. And the other assumption, that there's a chiyuv to eat meat on Shabbos, is also not true. It's not a chiv to eat meat on Shabbos, it's a chiv to enjoy Shabbos. Onik Shabbos. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to enjoy Shabbos. If you happen to enjoy blintzes more than you enjoy steak, gesundheit, right? You're allowed to be like that. So it says Rav Shechter, wait a second. So what did Chazal do over here? I have a mild headache. I would definitely go to work if I had this mild headache. I would definitely go about my normal, if it was on a weekday, it would just be bothering me all day. It would be one of those nagging things all day. The halacha is you're not allowed to take medicine. Chazal made gezer. You're not allowed to take medicine for that. Gezer mishum shchikas sammanim, right? How could Chazal make such a gezer? It's against the mitzvah d'oraisa. They're being oker davar min haTorah. When they tell you you're not allowed to take medicines, b'shevi al taaseh, they're being oker davar min haTorah. Ah, so Chazal are allowed to be oker davar min haTorah. But what did he say? What's the rule? Whenever Chazal are oker davar min haTorah with a gezerah, which kind of gezerah does it have to be? It has to be a kind of gezerah where the reason's included. Because they can't have the kind of chutzpah to tell you, you know, we're going to be oker davar min haTorah and we're not going to tell you why. That's not fair. If they're going to be oker davar min haTorah, they need to tell us why, and it needs to be included in the text of the gezerah. Good? So the gezerah mishum shchikas sammanim is a gezerah of akiras davar min haTorah, and therefore it's a gezerah that has the tam. So says Rav Shechter, according to that, l'chorah, the gezerah of refuah shouldn't apply anymore. Because if you don't know how to make your own Advil at home, so the tam doesn't apply of shchikas sammanim. The tam is part of the lashon of the gzeira. Maybe it shouldn't apply. It's a shtark akasha, no? I cut off the photocopy right where he then debunks that. But you know, he then says, no, it's not really true, because including that gzeira is not only taking things that you don't feel well. When you don't feel well, it's also taking like vitamins. I feel fine. I just take a vitamin because in the long run, it's going to be better for me. You know, I have some sort of, you know, it just makes me stronger. So I feel fine. It's winter time, but I take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day because I know that it's going to be more likely I won't catch a cold if I have, or I'll recover more quickly when I catch a cold if I have a lot of vitamin C in my system. I feel fine. So that gezer of shchikas ha'manim is not ba'kiras davar min ha'Torah. So the gezer doesn't always involve ba'kiras davar min ha'Torah. Okay, so that's those are the examples. Now, have questions? So now, bringing it back to us. So what was our chakira that we wanted to discuss tonight? Is chalavakum type 1 gezerah or is it type 2 gezerah? Is it a gezerah, davar shel minyan, you need minyan nachlatir, or you need based on gadol l'chacham minyan, and without it you can't? Or is it just, no, chazal were concerned. They were concerned that you can end up drinking non-kosher milk. So what's, according to Rav Shechter, there's a very simple test. What's the test? What was the nusach ha-gzeirah? No, what do you think? What was the nusach ha-gzeirah based on what we've learned? Did the nusach ha-gzeirah include a reason or did it not include a reason? Yeah. Right, it's pretty poshut that it didn't. What's the greatest raya that it didn't? The Gemara didn't even know what the reason was! Where it says, okay, we know that there's this gezeira. It's been handed on for generations that there's a gezeira of chalavakum. But we have no idea what the reason is. Is it because you're going to mix it up for something else? Is it gonna... No idea. They had no idea what the reason was. So if they didn't even know what the reason was, obviously it didn't include the reason. And therefore, if you want to tie it to davar shel minyan and just become something that's mamash aser, l'chora, when the reasons don't apply, the gezeira is still going to apply. So if the gzeira is any chalav you get from a guy is aser, then even if you know with 100% certainty that it's cow milk, it should still be aser. Now one more maramakom. I told you to remind me, the Rama, right? I don't know if I have it here. Yeah, you want to go grab it if you can? The Rama discusses in the very first sif of Kuf Tes Vav, the Rambam discusses what you have to see for the... Yeah, let's put it this way. Let me say it this way. What's the issur of chalavakum? What does it say in the Mishnah? First, listen to the Mishnah. First thing, listen to the Mishnah of something that's dvar shalav ikhav, and that's asurim ve'in yisurim yisur anah. First thing is, chalav shalav ikhav ve'in yisrael re'ehu. How do you understand those last three words, ve'in yisrael re'ehu? Is that part of the gezerah? Or is it that Chazal are telling you, Chalavakum is aser? If Yisrael Roehu, then that's an exception, because then you know that it's cow milk. Meaning, if the Gezerah is a type 1 Gezerah, where there's no reason for it, it's just given across the board and it applies, so the Ein Yisrael Roehu has to be part of the Nusach HaGezerah. Right? That has to be part of the way we define, thank you very much, that has to be part of the way we define the Gezerah. Why do I say that? Because if it's a type 1 gezerah, where it's just a low plug across the board, and that's not part of the nusach gezerah, we can't later come along and say, yeah, but if a Jew sees it, it's okay. If a Jew sees it, did a guy milk the cow?
It's not
chalavakum. Yes, it is. A guy milked the cow. What makes it not chalavakum?
No, say it.
What makes it not chalavakum? Because? Who decided that a Jew seeing it makes it not chalavakum? The original chacham who made the gezerah, meaning that it's part of the nusach gezerah. Right, that's what makes it not chalavakum. That it has to be part of the nusach ha-gzeirah. You can't say that later on they said, oh, but if a Jew is seeing, then there's no chashash. But if it's a type 2 gzeirah, where the gzeirah is for a specific concern, we're concerned that he's putting pig milk in your milk supply. So then when you stroll ro'ehu, then there's no chashash. A Jew sees him the whole time, then there's not going to be a chashash that there's pig milk in there. Didn't mean to... There's not going to be a chashash that there's pig milk in there when a Jew sees him. And if there's not a chashash, then it's okay. So what is Ein Yisrael Ro'ehu? So Pashtus, according to what we're saying now, that this is a type 1 gezerah, across the board low plug, Ein Yisrael Ro'ehu is part of the definition of the gezerah. Meaning, that when Chazal said that chalav of a non-Jew is aser, when Chazal really said was chalav of a non-Jew, where no Jew saw the milking, is aser. Listen to a Rama now. V'im chalvo ovid kolchavim miktsas behemos. Let's say you have a stable full of cows. I don't know what you call the place where you keep cows. Let's assume it's a stable. stable full of cows. You have 100 cows in there. You show up, and the guy has already milked 50 of them. V'lo haya sham Yisrael, no Jew was there at the time. V'achar kach bo Yisrael el ha'achirin. And then Yisrael shows up. Achshav bizman hazeh, she'in cholav dover tamim matzeklal. Nowadays, where no one really milks pigs and camels anymore, mutter, it's going to be mutter. Why in the world is that mutter? I show up, 50 cows have been milked without my supervision. According to what we're saying, the gzeir of Cholav Akum is it's a low plug. I don't care that nowadays no one milks pigs anymore. It's a low plug, it's across the board. It should be totally usher. That's Cholav Akum. So why is this mutter? So it all depends on how you understand Ein Yisrael Ro'ehu. Cholav Akum is not any cow that was milked by a non-Jew. Cholav Akum is a cow that was milked by a non-Jew without Jewish supervision. What does the Jew need to supervise? How much does the Jew need to supervise? Does the Jew need to supervise in the milking beginning to end? Does he need to inspect the kelim in advance? Does he need to then supervise it afterwards and make sure that it doesn't leave his sight from the time that it's milked till it's drunk? Doesn't say. It could be that if the gzeira is cholav akum she'in yisol ro'ehu, as long as the Jew sees part of the milking process, then it's Yisrael Ro'ehu. Then it's called that a Jew saw it. A Jew saw some of the milking. Ah, you're still worried that maybe he's mixing in pig milk as a practical matter. You're still choshesh, you might be mixing in pig milk. But if it's in a country where no one mixes in pig milk, you don't have to worry about a chashash. You only have to worry about the gzeira. You don't have to worry about what the chashash is he might mix in, because there's no such genuine chashash anymore. No one milks pigs. So you don't have to worry about that chashash anymore. What do you have to worry about? That there's a gzeris chazal, it's a low plug, it's a davar shel minyan, we're bound by it. But chazal provided within the nuscha gzera an out, an exception. And what's that exception? Yisrael Ro'ehu. So as long as you technically fit the parameters of a Jew seeing it, even though a Jew didn't see the whole thing, that would be mutter. That's why the Rama says that if a Jew sees part of it, and you're living in a place where there's no chashash that he's stuck in pig milk, then it's okay. But if a Jew sees none of it, and you're living in a place where there's no chashash he sticks in pig milk, it's not okay. Why not? If the whole reason is you're worried he's sticking in pig milk, why is it not okay if you saw none of it, and there's no chashash he's stuck in pig milk? Why is it not okay? Because like we said, it's a gzeira. It's a gzeira that's a low plug. And you didn't have the out. You didn't have the exception of Yisrael Ro'ehu. What the Ramaz being mechadesh b'shem the Sharidura is that Yisrael Ro'ehu is enough to just see part of it. Mashal ma'adav adome, bishal akum. What do you have to do? Your housekeeper's home and your mother told her to cook dinner. So what do? You turn on the fire, if you're Ashkenazic. If you're Sephardic, you need to do more than that. Everyone here is Ashkenazic? No. Right, but you turn on the fire, or you're Sephardic, you need to put the food actually in the fire. But let's say you turn on the fire. Now, did you cook it? Were you turning on the fire? No. What did you do? You did a little bit. You saw it away also. It doesn't mean you have to see the whole thing. You see a little bit. If you see part of it and you know and you stand up, you're Nichnas, Yosef Nichnas, it's also okay. Yeah.
What's a Svara though, if it comes in the middle that we're not choshish for the first half? But what's the Svara that's called Yisrael Ro'ehu?
Why did Chazal make that as part of their original
Gzeira? I don't know if I can ask the question, but if the question can be asked, why is that logical?
Right. I guess Chazal assumed that if 95% of the time a guy is not going to give you pig milk, 99% of the time that there's a Jew there at all in the vicinity, he's not going to give you pig milk, and that far they weren't, you know, they weren't going to make the Gzeira. Meaning, just having, you don't need a Jew watching the whole thing. Just a Jew in the vicinity will bring the percentages down that much further.
So it shouldn't matter if he goes in the middle, he doesn't go at all.
No, if he doesn't go at all.
He's still in the vicinity.
No. Okay. But that's hard to be mandir, the vicinity. Okay. So you say that he saw some of the milk.
Wouldn't we be able to say that, even if you're going to say that it's also because of this reason, that if we're going to, that it can also tie into the machlokes min bimino, min b'sheino bino? Because if it's min bimino, then it's just rove, and as long as you're there for. And then it's about the Barov. If you're there for, let's say, the second 50, then you're okay. Even if you're going to say that it's also because of the reason.
No, because you don't know how much pig milk was stuck, meaning even if you're, by the first 50...
Even if that, those first 50 cows are 100% pig milk, then as long as you're there for the second half...
So you're saying it's not a half.
I'm saying, but that's it.
Also, some cows have more milk than others. So you're assuming that half is dafka, which is not
pashut.
Well, maybe I have to think about it a little more. Okay, for those guys who need to learn high school, guys, if you have a question, I'm happy to stay.
Why do we care about the fact that it doesn't happen anymore?